Good morning and welcome to worship, everybody. I want to say a special happy Mother's Day and to all of you mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to you. We praise God for our mothers and the high calling they have to raise and nurture their children. Again, welcome to our worship service, a service of worship and praise to the living God, for Jesus is alive, and we continue to celebrate Eastertide, that great 50 days between Easter and Pentecost, remembering that Jesus is alive again. One day of Easter is just not enough to continue to celebrate and rejoice in God our Savior. And so we continue to celebrate and remember that Jesus is alive, and he is alive in our world. He's alive with us too today. So I want to encourage you to continue to worship at home and worship with family or friends in your homes or living rooms, and to join us with the worship liturgy that's found in the bulletin, the worship liturgy that's emailed out to everybody. And please contact our office if you haven't received that email, and you can follow along in our worship together on Sundays. Also, I just want to encourage you to maybe join with your small groups over Zoom or some other way online. You can do that. My small group is doing that. We are gathering together for coffee and cookies after our service in the morning. Every Sunday, we get together on Zoom. It's just an ongoing thing. Whoever's able to do that connects online, and we're able to say hi and connect and hear each other's prayer concerns too. And so if you're able to do that with your small group, please do so. And if you need help with that, please let me know. I could help with that a little bit anyways. Also, I had the joy of joining with a group of people from our denomination, the Christian Reformed Church, in praying together this last Thursday in the National Day of Prayer. On the National Day of Prayer, we joined together over Zoom, and we broke up into small groups on Zoom and were able to pray together, and it was really a wonderful thing. So prayer can happen over online forums as well, and that was really a blessing. Continue to pray for your nation, continue to pray for our leaders, and pray for our churches and Christian ministries too, who have a hard time trying to minister to people from a distance, and to continue funding those very important ministries that go on. So we keep our Christian ministries and churches in our prayers today too. Please join me for a call to worship this morning. It comes from Revelation chapter 15. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, King of the ages. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you. Let us worship the living God today. And as we do, we are continuing our study in the Ten Commandments. Today's commandment is the ninth commandment. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Exodus 20, verse 16. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. And in doing so, we study the Heidelberg Catechism, one of our church's statements of faith. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43. Only one question and answer for this one. The question is, what is God's will for you in the ninth commandment? God's will is that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone without a hearing or without a just cause. Rather, in court and everywhere else, I should avoid lying and deceit of every kind. These are devices the devil himself uses, and they would call down on me God's intense anger. I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. That's what the Heidelberg Catechism says about the ninth commandment, and we're going to look at that deeper today as we study God's word. But first, please join me in a prayer of confession. Gracious Lord, We thank you for knitting us together as one body in Christ. And we know that we are one body in Christ, even though we have to remain physically distant from each other. We enjoy many aspects of being in community with others, Lord, but sometimes the truth is a difficult thing to hear, and even more difficult to speak to someone with whom we are very close. Forgive us, O Lord, for neglecting the truth, for not speaking it when we have opportunity, for not receiving it when someone speaks the truth to us. Grant us humility, Lord, and give us courage to speak the truth in love, always seasoned with grace. May we be truthful in our relationships with others and in our relationship with you. For this we pray in the name of the one who is the way, the truth, and the life, even Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. People of God, hear these words of assurance from 1 Peter 2, verse 24, where it says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that free from sins we might live for righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed." Praise be to God that we are forgiven in Jesus' name. We come together in our time of congregational prayer as well, so please join me in prayer. Gracious and almighty God, eternal Lord, your truth is everlasting and your mercy endures forever. Jesus prayed to you as a son to his father and taught us to pray to you as our father. And so we come to you confident that you hear us, Lord, and knowing that you want to hear the truth, even the truth that we may not share with anyone else on earth. O God, our Father, we bless you for the church, for the witness that she's passed on, for the teaching of the law and the preaching of the gospel. Grant to the church today a true understanding of your word, that your people would be edified and equipped for good works of service. We pray for leaders in our church at all levels. We pray for our council elders and deacons making decisions during this difficult time. We pray for our campus minister, Pastor Mike, and the campus ministry for Ferris State University, for our stated clerk and interim committee members of Classis Muskegon, and for leaders of many denominational ministries of the Christian Reformed Church during this time. Lord, grant that through their leadership and the church in our day, that it might be faithful and flourishing, that we may grow and continue to spread the gospel good news of Jesus Christ. God, our Father, we thank you for all of the peoples of this earth, and we pray for those who believe and those who doubt, for those who struggle, for mothers and fathers and all of our children. We do thank you for mothers on this day, and we pray for all mothers, as imperfect as they are, in their high calling to nurture children in this world. What an awesome responsibility you have given them, Lord. We praise you for new life among us as a body here at Fellowship, and for a healthy birth. Bless the parents and the family with your provision and care. And you promise to be with mothers as they lead and raise and disciple their children. We lift to your throne the many needs among us today, for churches and Christian ministries struggling with finances and trying to meet needs from a distance. We pray for missionaries and their needs during this time, and for members of our own fellowship who struggle with things like depression and anxiety. Lord, have mercy. O God, our Father, we bless and thank you for this nation of ours, for its vastness, diversity of peoples, for its freedoms. Grant us wisdom in the use of our power and resources, purity in the use of our freedoms, along with justice and discipline for how and when we help those in need. And we pray for other nations of the world, especially those nations that are on lockdown and continue to struggle with containing the coronavirus. All of these prayers and supplications we present to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. He is our great high priest, presenting our prayers before the throne of grace. So hear us now, Lord, as we pray that prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen and amen. As we come to that point in our service where we normally give of our tithes and our offerings, and just a reminder for you to continue to be faithful in your giving. I thank you for those who are and continue to give. You may send your offering via the mail to the church or through the PayPal account in our online, going to our website, fellowshipcrc.net. Our special offering for this month is for missionaries and for the missions that Fellowship Church supports. So we gather that special offering during this month, and we distribute it to the number of different missionaries and ministries that we support as a church. So that's our special offering, and we continue to collect offerings and tithes for our general offering as well as for the other concerns that are coming up for our church building, building and grounds, our capital improvement projects, that things that just need to be done over time. So thank you for your faithful giving, and I encourage you to give as the Spirit leads you during this time, as you are able, and as you are obedient to the Word of God too. So now we come before God's holy Word today, and as we do, I invite you to pray with me as we open God's Word. Lord God, let the words of your servant's mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Through Christ we pray. Amen. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7. I'll be reading Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, as we continue to look at what Jesus said about the Ten Commandments, and also looking at James chapter 3. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, as he talks about taming the tongue, the use of our language. So we're looking at Matthew chapter 7 and James chapter 3. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye, and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite! First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. And then we turn to James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put the bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body. It makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and creatures of the sea are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing? My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This is another sermon that I tend to preach, or another topic that I tend to preach during election years. Truth-telling has fallen on hard times, and unfortunately, that becomes obvious during election years. It proves the point. I always feel especially incapable of knowing what is true and what is false when it comes to presidential campaign ads and the words of candidates, no matter what party they hail from. Sometimes you discover from the fact checkers that what was said was an outright lie. But at other times, you learn the context and you find out that it wasn't necessarily a lie in that context. And still, at other times, you find out that what was said was meant to be an exaggeration, to get a point across, and wasn't meant to be an exact number or truth claim. You see, the other side, whoever the other side happens to be, always spins the words of their opponents to make them look bad. And if that's the little bit of news that you happen to receive that day, well, you too are inclined to believe that spin on those out-of-context words. It just becomes so difficult to know the truth, to know what is true. At work, there may be times when you too have been tempted to fudge the truth a little bit, to fudge the reports, to cook the books, the financial books, because revealing the truth would be so much more work, and there would be a lot of explaining to do if you told the truth. When your friend wants to hang out with you, but you're already doing something with another friend, you might be tempted to not say what is truthful to that friend, to protect her feelings, you might think. It would also be so much easier to copy that report off the internet for that class assignment. I mean, why go to all that work when people have done it all for you already? So you copy and you paste and you present the work to your teacher or your professor as your own. But she knows that you normally don't speak in Elizabethan English. We all know how to spin a story, too. It's not just the politicians or their marketing professionals who can take things out of context and twist words and facts in order to tell the story the way they want it to be told. How many of us have told the fish story after going fishing out in the lake? The fish that we caught just seems to get bigger and bigger and bigger every time we retell the story. How easy is it to exaggerate our qualifications or our accomplishments on a job resume or in an interview in order to increase our chance of getting hired or just getting another interview? How many times have we only told parts of the story that make us look good and the other person, maybe our enemy, not look so good? In other words, sometimes we select certain facts but leave out other facts that would give people a bigger picture of what's going on. We all know how to spin a tale, and I'm not talking about those funny stories that we make up to tell our children. We all know how to manipulate our words and the choice of details that we choose to use in telling our story. No matter who's telling the story, no matter how wonderful and great and ethical they are, everybody is choosing words. Everybody is choosing certain details from an event. If I told you a story about the things that happened to me while I was driving to church today, I'm not going to tell you everything. I'm going to select certain things to put into that story. But some of us, we know how to manipulate our words and choose the exact details that always work for our advantage, that makes us look good. In other words, we can become like God. We try to create our own reality, our own separate universe, by sometimes distorting reality. Distorting reality. Trying to manipulate what people think or believe or how you are viewed and understood. And that can be very dangerous. So God included the ninth commandment, on the list of the most important rules to live by. We call them the Ten Commandments. Just as honoring mother and father and the authority figures in your life, which is protecting us, just as not murdering someone honors and protects life, Just as not stealing protects personal property and promotes justice, so too not giving a false testimony protects the truth and helps us live in harmony with one another and with God. Of course, not giving a false testimony sounds like something that you only do in court and under oath, but it's much bigger than that. It's much bigger than that. The ninth commandment is about truth-telling, protecting and honoring the truth. Without the expectation of people speaking the truth to each other, it's hard to have trust in any culture, in any society. Notice how many people actually trust the words of a politician. And it's very difficult to live without a basic level of trust of the people around you. You know how difficult it is and how angry and disappointed you feel when your children lie to you. It's hard to trust them again. It takes time and a lot of work for that person who lied to you to rebuild that level of trust, to restore that relationship, because when we lie to each other, we're breaking that relationship with somebody. Well, God is angry and disappointed with us too when we lie, whether we're lying to him or whether we're lying to each other. When we lie to each other, we are giving a false testimony of reality. When we lie, we are breaking the ninth commandment and not honoring the truth. Lying is not the way to live in freedom and in the grace and in the provision of God, our deliverer. Lying, God says, is actually using the language of the devil. Lying is the language of the devil. It's not a tool of the righteous. It's the tool of the deceiver. So first today, God desires truth. The ninth commandment is about honoring the truth. In John chapter 8, Jesus makes it clear that Satan is a liar, and he's the father of lies. To the religious leaders seeking to kill him, Jesus says Satan is their father, because they so often live by falsehoods, and they're doing what their father is doing. So Jesus says Satan is their father. Lying is speaking the devil's language. Once again, it is out of a corrupt human heart that people tend to wander and do things that are contrary to God's will and God's ways. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, Jesus says in Matthew 15, verses 16 through 20. And his list there includes false testimony and slander. Out of the heart, Jesus said, come evil thoughts, and he lists theft and adultery and a number of other things, usually related to the Ten Commandments there. And he also includes false testimony and slander. That is what defiles a person, what comes out of the heart, out of the mouth, in false testimony and slander. That's what defiles a person. And God has made it clear throughout the Bible that he values truth-telling over lying. In Proverbs 18, verse 21, it says, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat of its fruit." And in Proverbs 12, 22, it says, "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy." In Proverbs 15, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" In other words, who may be in your presence, Lord? "The one whose walk is blameless and who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, and who does no wrong to a neighbor and casts no slur on others." As the Catechism says, truthfulness and honoring the truth is not just avoiding an outright lie, but it also includes things like twisting words, gossip, slander, or joining with others in condemning someone without a fair hearing or just cause. Speaking the truth with all sincerity and integrity is God's desire for his people. Speaking the truth with sincerity, integrity, forthrightness, candidness, it's God's desire for his people. As James says in chapter 3 of our reading today, what a world of evil the tongue can be, which has the potential to set fires with the words that we use. Haven't you seen people use their words to start fires among groups of people or friends or enemies, especially online? The tongue is a small part of the body, he says, but it could cause a world of hurt when we use those words to curse others or tear them down. or to deceive them. These false words, these lies, the temptation to lie to others come from that salt spring that can be deep down inside of us. They come from the brokenness inside of us, the hurt that is inside of us. They come from our ego's need to be bolstered, our pride's need to get attention, our loneliness or anger that reaches out at the expense of others. Because others are hurt when we lie. Our own reputation is hurt, but other people are hurt as well. James says in chapter 1, verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. The Bible speaks of our use of language and the words that we choose to use. We do have a choice in the words that we use. People usually are not holding a gun to our heads and forcing us to curse at someone or forcing us to deceive and lie to someone. No, people don't usually need that. We come by it all too readily on our own. We have the ability to rein in our tongues, the Bible says, or to tame our language so that we use our words to build others up instead of tearing people down. We can use our language for good. God desires truth so that fruit may come from our lives and the words that we use. So may our language and our word choices be like a refreshing spring in a dry desert instead of a lifeless salt spring in the desert. If you were dying of thirst and you came to some water and said, finally, I could get something to drink, but it turns out to be salt water. How disappointed. How disappointing that would be. And it's that way too for us when we meet certain people and they tear us down and they mock us, they ridicule us, they make fun of us, they curse, they use such foul language and images with the words that they use. It's like coming to a salt spring in the middle of a desert. Let that not be said of us. Let our words be truthful and honest, and may they be refreshing, even if the truth hurts sometimes. God desires truth. Next, God desires a truth that protects the neighbor. God desires truth that protects the neighbor. Like many of our commandments, we could fall into the trap of keeping them for our own sake. That is, we might think that we are keeping the commandments in order to look good in front of God or in front of other people. We might think that we're keeping them so that God would love us more, or we'd have a better chance of getting into heaven if we're doing pretty good on the Ten Commandment track throughout our lives. But that's not the point, and you know that. That's not it at all. Just as God had already saved the Israelites, and then he gave them the Ten Commandments, God has already saved us through the blood of Jesus Christ. We use these 10 words from God as a way to live lives of gratitude for all that God has done for us in Christ. The first 4 commandments, the first table of the law, showed us how to live faithfully and live well before our God and our deliverer, our Savior. And now, in the last 6 commands, the second table of the law, God is showing us how to live faithfully and well with each other, with fellow human beings. And truth-telling is a very important part of living well with other people. Truth-telling is loving our neighbor. Truth-telling is loving our neighbor. Jesus talks about loving our neighbors in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6, part of our reading for today. And part of that is being truthful and honest in our judgments of others. Being truthful and honest in our judgments of others, and careful with our judgments. In verse 1 of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged." And then verse 2, "For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." Jesus has already been condemning the religious leaders of his day, who are often very hypocritical. They like to show off their religion through their fasting practices in public and their loud and showy prayers in public. But yet on the inside, they were very corrupt, lying and seeking to kill him. The disciples have seen their behavior too, and so Jesus is telling his disciples, don't become like that. Hypocrisy is a form of lying too. It's false testimony. It's living a lie. Hypocrisy is masking a corrupt heart with a religious veneer, pretending to be better than you actually are. Not only that, the religious leaders were being severely critical and judging others for not being as good as they were pretending to be. Lying by being hypocritical is not loving your neighbors. Disciples of Jesus can become like this too. So Jesus actually has two warnings here in this passage. First, he warns against judging too much, but secondly, he warns against judging too little. First, the warning against judging too much, and I think most people in our day get this. In fact, we love to tell people not to judge. Don't judge me, we say. Don't judge me if we're doing something that somebody might find offensive or inappropriate. In our culture, we're not supposed to judge others, and that is often interpreted to mean that we're supposed to turn off our critical thinking caps and just accept whatever behavior, whatever thoughts, whatever words that are said by somebody else. Do not judge me. It often means leave me alone. Well, Jesus never meant for us to turn off our critical thinking or to stop having judgments about words or behaviors or lifestyles or other things. As disciples of Jesus, we indeed are supposed to judge between right and wrong, and good and evil, and what is healthy or unhealthy, or beautiful or ugly. No, the type of judgment Jesus is talking about here is the kind of judgment where someone stands over others in a superior fashion and pronounces guilt on them before the face of God. Before God, you are guilty. Be very careful about making those kinds of judgments, Jesus says. Remember, you are like someone with a log sticking out of your eyeball, or like a long plank sticking out of your eye, and here you are trying to reach out and pull a speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye. True disciples of Jesus have received mercy and forgiveness, and they know it. And they're humbled by it. Having a hypercritical, condemning attitude toward others has no place among Christ's followers. Be careful, because the same standard that you use to judge others will be used with you. Same measure that you use, the same standards will be used against you. And you just may be pretending to be better than you actually are. So you better have a sober view of yourself. Self-reflection and confession are possible, getting that log out of your own eye. Jesus isn't saying just don't judge ever, no matter what. He's saying you better have some self-reflection and confession going on personally before you start to judge others. Then, in humility, out of a love for your neighbor and her well-being, you reach out for that speck of sawdust, knowing that you too are a sinner. Disciples of Jesus do indeed have a responsibility to help correct our neighbors out of love for them, and not just a hypocritical or condemning or superior spirit. So truth-telling is knowing the truth about yourself. Know that I too am a sinner, saved by the grace of God in and through his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. So be careful about judging others too much and then deceive yourselves and having this superior attitude toward other people. But also, don't be too naive about things either. Don't turn off your thinking caps and judge too little. And the second warning of Jesus to his disciples is about judging too little. In verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7, Jesus continues. He says, "Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." First, it must be noted that wild pigs and dogs were known to roam around in Jesus' day. And they were known to destroy property and to, yes, rip people apart, kill people. Wild dogs and wild pigs do the same thing in many parts of the world today, too. So we've all probably known the naive Christian in our lifetimes, and maybe you are one. We get excited about the gospel. We get excited about their changed life in Christ, and we want the whole world to know, and that's very right and very good. We trust God so much so that some of us think that that trust in God means that we can just turn off our thinking caps. We can just throw out our street smarts. We don't need it anymore because, hey, we're believing in God and we're trusting God today. But Jesus cautions his disciples here about the dangers of judging too little, not judging enough, being too naive about the world around you. Appropriate discernment or judgment between good and evil, right and wrong, healthy and unhealthy, safe and unsafe, is certainly called for the disciple of Jesus in this world. Some people demonstrate who they are by their wild and their violent behaviors. They like to stir the pot. They like to get the Christian going. And so they like to come up with arguments. They revel in arguments and quarrels and controversy. Some people really honestly are not listening to you. They're not listening to the answers that you give when they ask a question. They're ready to deny your answer no matter what it is and to continue to play literally that devil's advocate with you. But just to keep the argument going, just to stir up the Christian, and I'm sure many of us have known people like that in our lives too. There are enemies of the kingdom of God. Some are just verbal. Others take it much further. But they're enemies of the cross of Christ, people who have rejected the gospel message, and they are only interested in ridicule and mockery and abuse, bodily harm, or worse. In your enthusiasm for spreading the gospel, I believe Jesus is saying here, don't keep poking the hornet's nest. Be wise. Be smart about it. Don't keep poking a hornet's nest. Remember, Jesus says there are real dangers out there, and you're not supposed to confront or endure every danger that comes your way. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and then turn and tear you to pieces. Very wise words from Jesus here. In other words, living truthfully before God and others in the world is acknowledging this truth as well. Don't be naive and judge too little. Be discerning of what is true and what is real. Be aware of the tricks that the devil plays and others who would use the devil's tactics of lying and deceit. Be aware of these things that would work against you, would cause you or your family harm. Keep your thinking caps on. Remember your street smarts. And as Jesus says a little later in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, he says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Jesus understood. Jesus wasn't naive. He understood the dangers that are out there in the real world. I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. Everybody remembers, as innocent as doves. I got to be as innocent as doves. But first he says, be as shrewd as snakes. Be as wise as serpents. God desires truth. And God desires truth that protects our neighbor. In other words, it's not just all about us speaking the truth, being truthful, living truthful and honest and upfront lives, but it's about protecting our neighbors too. The Catechism concludes this way in Lord's Day 43, saying that I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it, and I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Wouldn't you want people to do that for you? If someone started gossiping and saying untrue things, unflattering things, twisting your words, wouldn't you want somebody to stand up and say, hey, wait a minute, I know him, I know her, maybe there's another explanation out there? Wouldn't you want somebody to do that for you? What would the world look like if people told the truth about their lying? If people told the truth about their lying, acknowledged it, apologized for it, promised to do better. Don't think I've ever heard an adult do that. Don't think I've ever heard an adult admit to lying, apologize for it, and promise to do better. I've heard children, but they're usually forced to do it. But what a better world it would be if we could trust one another to tell the truth. If we could trust each other that we're being open and honest, upfront, forthright, candid with our words, even when it hurts us to do so. Jesus said, "It is the truth that shall set you free." And he declared that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Praise be to God for speaking the truth to us through the living Word of God, Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we confess that we have used our speech to tear others down, and we have cursed people made in your image. We have lied to ourselves, to others, and to you, God. Help us to humbly work on that log in our own eye before we try to help others. Help us to be humble, Lord, remembering that we too are sinners in need of grace. Forgive us, Lord, we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of speech. We pray that you would continue to redeem our tongues and transform our hearts so that we may build up the body of Christ and not tear it down, that we may build up all people and be encouragers and refreshing springs of water. And may the world know that we are your disciples by the good and wholesome and truthful use of our words with all people created in your image. For it is in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. Amen. Now receive the benediction today. May our triune God be your all in all, today, this week, and forevermore. God be in your head and in your understanding. God be in your eyes and in your looking. God be in your mouth and in your speaking. God be in your heart and in your thinking. God be your all in all, today and always. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you now. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you as you go out to love and serve the Lord today. The Lord be with you and give you the strength and energy that you need and keep you safe and healthy until we meet again.